Welcome back to our study of the Doctrine of Christ. We've been talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And now seems to be a fitting time for us just to talk about the purpose of STC Bible College. And Pete and I were discussing this in the office and talking about the goodness of the Holy Spirit and how we give thanks regularly for the gift. But let's talk about why we're here this evening and why you have been so faithful to come, and some of you in the room so faithful to come for 20 years. So let's talk about that.
You know, it starts with the Lord just speaking to me by the Spirit, just right out of the blue. I was working as a mechanic. I wasn't even in ministry. And the Lord just spoke, Spirit Training Center, in me. And that's all he said, Spirit Training Center. And so time transpired, matter of fact, about 19 years. At one New Year's Eve service, the Lord said, it's time to start the college. And so, by the lead of the Holy Spirit, we did that. And then when we started the college and started trying to get things organized and writing the things you have to write for all the legal aspects and all this, the Lord spoke to me and he said, and this is all by the Holy Spirit, you hear me? He said, I don't want you to appeal to intellect. I don't want you to appeal to emotion. I want to train human spirits by my Spirit. And so I want you to just go straight, follow the Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit, and teach people. In other words, you're imparting. Teaching is imparting into people spiritual truths. Now, here's the thing. You're doing this for spiritual reproduction. So the Spirit puts something in me. I put it in you. You're to put it in somebody else. They're to put it in somebody else. This is a reproduction cycle, but it's to be done by the Spirit. And where most of all the Christian colleges I know, they're just teaching a curriculum not by the Spirit. It's just a natural curriculum. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that's not what God called me to do. And so this college exists because of the Holy Spirit. And to the best of our ability, we have obeyed God in formulating everything by the Spirit. And it's not always been appreciated. But nevertheless, I have a clear conscience as I stand here tonight that we have obeyed God and done what He's told us to do. And so when God speaks and you speak to people and you start teaching things that they've never heard of, well, here's the thing. The Lord, you know, as I was working, you know, as in maintenance and all that, I had a position and where I had, once I got my men working, I could concentrate on reading the Bible and just talking to the Lord. The Lord was opening things up to me, and I was writing, and I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I didn't know I was writing curriculum for a college, you understand. I'm just so excited about the things that the Spirit of God is showing me. And then I'm just so simple-minded that I think other people are going to be as excited about this as I am. But what I found was nobody was excited about it. Everyone, at that particular time, everybody was rejecting the things that God was speaking to me by the Spirit. They'd rather hold on to a religious mindset than to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And this can be disenchanting if you if you think about it naturally. And so you have to keep your mind on the Lord so you don't get discouraged. And believe me, I've had many opportunities along the way to get discouraged because, you know, I've heard things like, well, how is it that you're right and everybody else is wrong? I said, it's not a matter of me being right or wrong. Does the Bible teach it or does the Bible not teach it? If the Bible teaches it, God's right and everybody else is wrong. It has nothing to do with me as a person. It has to do with the Spirit of God and has to do with the Word of God. And so this is how this has evolved. And as we've stepped out by faith in doing this, naturally it'd scare the socks off of me because that's just not who I am. Or I never thought I would ever do anything of that nature. I thought I would always just work with my hands and I enjoyed it. But then the Lord started opening things up, and so we started listening to the Spirit. We started trying to get other people to listen to the Spirit. We put great emphasis on the Holy Spirit because He plays a vital role in our lives. Over the years of ministry, I've had offers. People want me to come to this church or they want me to go to that church. And inside me, the Spirit of God would check me. Just when I say check, I don't bear witness to what they're saying. In other words, that's not where God wants me. God wants me here. And so I'm going to have to stay where God wants me, doing what God wants me to do. Although at those times there was nothing spectacular. There's still nothing spectacular about it, okay? It's just simple things in a small place, in a small setting. But that's what God's called me to do, and I am 100% comfortable with that. I have no aspirations of building any empire or anything like that. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to do what the Spirit of God wants me to do. And in the process of all that, you have people telling you, well, I think you should do this, and I think you should do that. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that's protected me over the years to where we didn't fall into the traps. Now, here's the thing. Satan sets traps all around you. He plays no favorites. You understand? Mm-hmm. He sets traps for everybody. Now, he appears as an angel of light. You know what that means? It is extremely appealing to you. Well, that's God. But if the Spirit of truth is living in you and you listen, you don't spring the trap. I've had job offers. Trap. The Spirit says no. You understand? Don't spring the trap. And people do it all the time. They do it with jobs. They do it with business relationships. They do it with personal relationships. All types of things. God warns. A trap set. What's that trap set for? To keep you from drawing near to God. That's what the trap's for. It's to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And how many people have been in positions God's warned them and they didn't listen? I had a businessman to tell me back some time ago that he entered into business with people he should not have entered into business with. And it ended up going belly up. They filed bankruptcy, but the Spirit of God wouldn't let him. It would violate his conscience. And so he personally worked out an agreement with the bank to keep paying that debt and paying that debt. And he did that for a long period of time, showing he'd rather obey God than to go the way of the world. And the Spirit of God moved on them to retire the debt. And so God came to his rescue because he proved himself faithful. You know what he did? He maintained an integrity that set him distinctly apart from the world. You follow me? You know, I mentioned earlier concerning, it was actually what I was talking to you about was concerning a relationship. And I knew the person was missing God in that relationship. But they didn't listen. And it wasn't just me. God sent somebody else to that person and told them the same thing. But they didn't listen. And that relationship ended up being a horrible situation for them, because they wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit. The trap was set. It was a trap. And they sprung the trap. It can be done in any aspect of your life. You know, you think it's a good thing, and you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You know, we're going to have this business. We're going to make money. We're going to have this relationship and live happily ever after. And it's nothing more than a trap of the devil, to where if you listen to the Spirit of God, you don't spring the trap and you don't get caught into something that you regret the rest of your life. And I can tell you there's been many traps set along the way. And I'm talking about with me. This church wouldn't be here. This college wouldn't be here if we'd have sprung the traps. It would have taken us in a direction that was a different direction than what God wanted. Well, what kept you from doing that? Not your great intelligence, you understand. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And you believe the Holy Spirit more than you believe anything around you. You believe the Holy Spirit more than you believe your eyes, your ears, your counselors. You believe the Holy Spirit more than you do anything. And I'll promise you that He has never led me any place but good. And if I've missed it, it's because I didn't listen to the Spirit of God. Are you with me? And so we want people to understand how important the Holy Spirit is in governing your life. And that's really what the kingdom of God is doing. It's governing your life. And people think about, you know, heaven and kingdom of God. We're talking about submitting to God right now, listening to God, and obeying God right now. And I just wrote this. We just finished a study guide yesterday on God's kingdom on earth. Some things that God's been speaking to me about here lately. But this is one of the things that just dropped in me. If people don't want me to rule them now, why would they want to go to heaven? You don't want God to control your life here. Why do you want to go to heaven? Doesn't make sense, does it? And this is far more serious than anybody realizes. And God is putting great emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Heather and I did not plan this. It's the Lord set this up, okay, to put great emphasis on how important it is, not just to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but to be led by the Spirit. What good is it to say, you know, I've received the Holy Spirit, you don't follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit and you're still living naturally. You're still doing things from a natural mindset. You reason things out rather than to talk to God and let God talk to you. Spirit training. That's my life. I want to be trained by the Spirit. And then what the Spirit puts in me, I want to put into other people so they can be trained by the Spirit. It's less fanatical than you just let me live my life. I'm enjoying it right now. Okay? Not that everything is smooth sailing, but I know one thing, that if I do what God tells me to do, it's in my best interest. And I'm at peace every day, every night. When you obey the Spirit of God, you can be at peace. When you, like God told Saul, it's hard against kick against the pricks, Jesus told him. It's hard to kick against the pricks. You can have a religious mindset and work against God. And that's exactly what Saul was doing. Saul of Tarsus, Paul later on. He had a religious mindset. Oh, he was a zealot, you understand? Here's a man that knew the Word of God. I'll guarantee you Paul was well versed in the Word of God. But he was working against God. And a lot of people today, many people in the day, ministers, working against God. Oh, they know the Word. But they don't submit to the Word. You know, I was thinking about Malachi, the third chapter. Mm-hmm. Am I getting into your territory?
No.
Okay. But in Malachi, the third chapter, it talks about the Lord coming, settling. Mm-hmm. In other words, Israel's looking for the Lord. And what he's saying is the one you're looking for is suddenly going to come to his temple. What's the temple of God? The body of Christ. Who can stand the day of his coming? Because he will come as a refiner's fire and fuller's soap for this purpose, to purify, note this, the sons of Levi. Who were the sons of Levi? Levi was the tribe that was set apart to represent God. The body of Christ is the priest. We're set apart to represent God. So what does he want to do? We've already said that the Holy Spirit will purify you. He'll clean you mm-hmm. up. You see, religion has tried to do it from the outside. I grew up in this stuff. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. You can't do this. You can't go there. You can't go here. I grew up in that. It never did clean me up. You understand? I didn't get cleaned up till I got filled with the Spirit of God, and God started working with my heart and getting my desires to change and getting the worldly desires out of my heart and godly desires in my heart. And so the Holy Spirit, when God comes by His Spirit, then the Spirit of God starts dealing with you. I will submit to you that the kingdom of God came in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. John the Baptist said, the kingdom's coming. Jesus said, the kingdom is near you. He tells his apostles, you wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. You follow them from the time the Spirit of God came. They were different people. Before, they had their mind on other things. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to sit at the right hand? Who's going to sit at the left hand? Mind on position. Mind on natural stuff. Mind on self-preservation. But you follow their life when the Spirit of God came on them. Their mind was not on them from that day forward. Their mind was on God. And they gave their lives to further the gospel, the kingdom of God. You understand? Because they're led by the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom got established in them. So God's ruling in them, you understand? And they don't love their lives more than they love God. They love God, do you understand? Submitting to the kingdom. And I'm not telling you to get a persecution complex. That's not what we're saying. I'm saying get into a love relationship with the Lord where nothing else matters. He matters. That's what matters. Listen to the Spirit and obey in the Spirit. Well, do you just walk around all the time just with your head in the cloud? No. Yeah. I work on boats, I work on cars, I work on trailers, I work on saws, I work on you name it, I work on it. Even now. Plumbing, electrical. But you do it asking God for help. Lord, show me this. I need your wisdom. You understand? You still keep your mind on the Lord. The Lord's always there. And so you let His kingdom grow. And I just tell Him, I mean, many times, I'll say, Lord, I don't have a clue that You made the man that made this. And it's amazing thoughts that will come to you, just drop in you. The right thoughts. The Spirit of God directing you. The Holy Spirit is one, if not the most valuable thing you can have in your life. Now, I can't separate the Bible, the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. You need both. But you can be a walking encyclopedia and not have the Spirit of God and just be as natural as anybody else. We are called to be spiritual people. You are, whether you realize it or not, saint or sinner, you're a spiritual person. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Your spirit's what's keeping your body alive. Your spirit never dies. For the born-again believer to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So I tell people, I'm going to live forever. Why? I accepted Jesus. So the house I live in, you know, you can destroy the house, but you can't destroy the occupant. Because the occupant's eternal. He's spiritual. You understand? But we place all our attention on the house. The natural. The temporary. What we're going to do this week. What we're going to do tomorrow. And how we're going to plan this and how we're going to plan that. And neglect eternal things. That's what's sad about it. What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? He didn't say if you go to hell, if you lose your soul. There's a difference. You gave your mind, will, and emotion over to the world, not to God. So what did it profit you? Pleasure for a season? I'd rather put my investments in the eternal. And the only way I can do that is through the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in us. You with me? Not coercing the Spirit, but listening to the Spirit. See, you cannot produce the character of Jesus. You cannot be the representative God wants you to be without the Holy Spirit. It's an impossibility. That's why Jesus told those disciples, tarry as you're risen until you're endued with power. You think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the character of Jesus. That's how Jesus lived His life. It's called fruit of the Spirit, not fruit of the flesh. That fruit comes out of the inward man in union with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only thing, the only one, that can give us the ability to be at peace in the midst of the storm, to love those who hate you, to exercise self-control when you want to just jack-slap somebody. The Spirit of God in you will let you know that's not the thing to do. You can have joy when there's nothing, circumstances around you are not telling you to be happy, but you can have joy in the midst of bad circumstances. A lot of times when I get into some bad situations, I just start singing to myself on the inside of me. I just start singing. Draw off of the joy of the Lord. Draw off of the Spirit of God. You can't do it if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. And people don't understand how valuable the Holy Spirit is. You talk Holy Spirit, they want to argue about tongues. This is not a disrespectful statement, but I want to put things in perspective. As far as God's concerned with the Holy Spirit, tongues is like a BB down a 10-lane highway. That's not the significance. The significance is the person. The significance is the power. The significance is the ability that the Holy Spirit can give you to be what God wants you to be. You with me? It's not even about just gifts of the Spirit. It's about daily living. Daily living. What good is operating with the gifts when you have, when you're not operating in the right environment? The fruit is critical. The character is critical. I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you are. You tell me, you know, God this and God that, and you act like the devil. You mean-spirited, that's what I mean. Just mean-spirited, condescending. Think you're better than somebody else because you know a little bit more of the Scriptures. And I've seen too much of that. I walked in an office of a guy who was the owner of a company, and he had Scriptures all over the walls of that company. I mean, he had Scriptures all over the wall of the company. He treated his employees like a dog. Matter of fact, one of the guys that worked for him told me, he said, if that man goes to heaven, I want to go to hell. I said, man, you don't even know what you say. Don't ever say that. Don't judge God off of a misrepresentation. That's why it's so important we be filled with the Spirit of God, to where we represent God. You tell me you're a Christian. Why are you telling me? Can't I see it? You shouldn't have to go around telling people you're a Christian. They should see something different. To the point that they ask you, what's different? That's your drawing card, if you will. Not your out here bragging about who you are or what you are. God has not called us to market Him. He's called us to represent Him. And you can't do it without the Holy Spirit.
I want to say this. For those of you that have been listening and paying attention, what you've witnessed this evening is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Sure, it came through a man. Because the Lord needs physical bodies to deliver a message. But what you heard was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Training your spirit by His Spirit. Now that couldn't happen had He not been baptized in the Spirit. That couldn't happen had Pete not continually filled himself and subjected himself to the Spirit. So we talk about the goodness. Well, you just experienced it. It's nothing short of supernatural. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit Himself is supernatural. So this wasn't just a Bible college class this evening. This isn't just a study guide. This is the Lord Himself teaching you and training you through His Holy Spirit. Now, isn't He so good? Don't you just love Him? Aren't you so grateful? I'm standing here just thanking the Lord that He gives me the opportunity to learn. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak. You speak to us, you speak through us. Now, we talk about, we've said this time and time again, that these are doctrines that we need to experience. These baptisms, we need to experience them. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, start talking to the Lord about Him. Because He will change your life. And He is a gift. We use this phrase, the gift that keeps on giving. He's the epitome of that. The Holy Spirit is the epitome. Now, we experience these baptisms. We experience all these other doctrines that Jesus has talked to us about. Why? So we can help other people. And we talked about, Pete, you don't know this, but one evening Pete and I talked about these doctrines and how so many of them are for our personal benefit. But the Lord tells us to move on from these doctrines, to grow into maturity. How do we do that? When we move from focusing on ourselves to focusing on others. So we learn about baptism of the Holy Spirit. We experience, we taste and we see, we experience the goodness. So we can testify. So we can help others. You know, we're getting ready to talk about baptism of fire. How it purges and it cleanses us. And, well, quite frankly, it doesn't feel real good when it's happening. But I guarantee you, because of that, those experiences, you're better able to help other people. So, I thank the Lord for this evening. I thank the Lord for the teaching. I thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit speaks to them and through them. And to you and through you. If we submit. If we submit.
You know, there is the Bible clearly distinguishes between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and baptism with fire. When John the Baptist said, there's one after me who was actually before me, and I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, two distinct things. Now, I grew up for many years here in Holy Ghost fire. Matter of fact, I was just watching something on YouTube not long ago and really didn't bear witness to it because the people kept devoting the service to fire fall down on us, fire fall down on us. And I thought, you don't know what you're saying. Because I'll tell you what fire does. We're going to find it out when we go into it. The fire is going to burn away the garbage in your life that's not pleasing to God. And I can tell you when it does, the flesh will scream. It doesn't like it. But when we're talking about the Spirit of God, we're talking about empowerment, ability, enablement, however you want to say it. And the way it works, it's not just the Spirit of God comes in and boom, that's it. No, the kingdom of God is like a seed. He, as a matter of fact, the fourth chapter of Mark says mustard seed, tiniest of all the seed. That's how it goes in you. And then the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, starts working in your life. He'll clean up your mouth. He'll clean up things, you know, your temper. And I could name you many more. But you know what I'm talking about. How does he do it? Not all at one time. But what happens, you slip up and then you're grieved. I miss God. You know, repent immediately. God's kingdom's ruling. If you do, if you don't, then you're preventing the kingdom of God from ruling. He's going to rule by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. That's how he rules, okay? But it requires us yielding to him. The kingdom of God cannot operate on earth aside from the Holy Spirit. That's how God has chosen to do it. Jesus said, pray that the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done on earth. Well, it won't do me any good to pray that if I'm not willing to submit to that. You understand? And so often I say, God, I want your kingdom dominating my life. It's not fair for me to say rule over the United States when I don't want you to rule over me. I want you to rule over me. I want you to rule over this church. Not what I want. This college. Not what I want. What do you want? You rule. You just tell me what you want to do. Give me the wisdom to implement it. And he'll do that through the Spirit of God. He's not going to appeal to your reason. Well, I'll tell you what, Pete, go to the office, sit there and figure it out. He's never told me that. That's the last thing he wants me to do. Hear and obey. That's the only way the kingdom of God can operate. And the only way you can hear is by the Spirit. There was a lot of people who had ears when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But few had spiritual ears. You're hearing from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. God speaks in here. And he does it on a daily basis. People don't even know God's talking. Just through promptings and checks and this type of thing. I want you to really meditate on the things that have been said and how important it is not just to have the Holy Spirit, but to allow the Holy Spirit to have you. Then God's kingdom moves. Amen. We'll stop there. We'll pick back up, I suppose, with the baptism of fire. I don't excite you. Light that torch, Lord. Bring it on. Yeah. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. But Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Well, we'll be back